Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, chronicling professional wrestling on a weekly basis since 1987. Also editor of PWTorch.com, and significantly so this week, more than usual, MMATorch.com with Ronda Rousey's return to the Octagon this Friday. Join us all week for coverage of the media blackout from Ronda Rousey and Amanda Nunes, and also a full card preview. So much on that show in addition to the women's fight and our live coverage on Friday night and all the fallout over the weekend. Check it out. Daily trivia, flashback articles, roundtable discussions with the MMA Torch staff, breaking news, our daily news digest. If you only have time to read one article on MMA every day, the daily news digest at MMATorch.com will keep you up to date and has you covered. So check that out. Some other really cool special features that are a little bit off the beaten path too on the world of mixed martial arts. It is we're checking out every day. It's mobile friendly, desktop friendly, MMATorch.com. I am also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast, Mondays through Thursdays, Mondays right after Raw, Tuesdays right after SmackDown, Wednesdays, the midweek flagship at 1 p.m. Eastern. And we have Sean Radican, longtime PW Torch columnist, joining me tomorrow. We're going to talk about the big signings that Sean Radican broke the news on today at PWTorch.com with Jay Lethal renewing his contract with ROH. And is Kyle O'Reilly next or not? He's advertised for at least one match in 2017, but he won't be under contract in 2017 if he doesn't renew. Sean Radican's stories with analysis on that is up right now at PWTorch.com. Two different stories with breaking details on the ROH contract situation. So we'll talk to Sean about WWE, but also happenings in ROH and more. He is not only a longtime Torch columnist, he started off as a volunteer SmackDown TV reporter prior to Greg Parks when he joined the team. And he will be joining me tomorrow, and we're going to talk. He specializes in covering non-WWE and TNA content. He's based in the Northeast, a lot of indie wrestling out there, and he watches a lot of DVDs and on-demand programming and really keeps an eye on up-and-coming stars. And every time he has a chance to be on the live cast, I learn a lot. And it's great to have a conversation with him about who he sees on the rise. You can be ahead of the curve anytime you're reading or listening to Sean Radican. But today, tonight, we are here live 4 minutes now after SmackDown concluded. A very big episode of SmackDown, which I have boldly predicted will beat Raw in the ratings this week. If it doesn't happen this week, it's hard to imagine when it would happen. We can talk about that more as the show progresses. A big world title match, AJ Styles retaining the title in a triple threat. American Alpha, because you got to have a title change on a show of this stature and magnitude. American Alpha, the new tag team champions, winning a fatal four-way, eliminating the Wyatt family, some dissension between Orton and Harper. Plus, Alexa Bliss retains against Becky Lynch when Luchadora, a different lady, because last week it was Becky, but the real version showed up this week in the mismatched mask and bodysuit and interfered against Becky Lynch, I assume, to get revenge for Becky stealing her outfit and wearing it and not washing it before returning it last week or something like that. Becky Lynch, I thought, hilariously speculated it was either Sasha Banks, and then if she was too small, then Nia Jax. But it was somebody who was right in between those two size-wise. So those are the big happenings on the show. Oh, yeah, John Cena. He showed up at the beginning of the show and also at the very end of the show. And there's nobody I'd like to be talking to more about this than Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, who is my guest co-host on today's program, a rare treat outside of the primetime Friday lineup here on PW Torch Livecast at PWTorchLivecast.com. And, of course, Bruce and I talk every weekend for about 2 hours for VIP members with the long running, never ending Bruce Mitchell audio show. Bruce, welcome to the Tuesday livecast. I think you've only been on here once or twice before.
Yeah, a little while ago. I hope everybody had a good holiday, and we're back up, I guess.
Yeah. Good to have you on the show. A big episode of SmackDown. This was loaded. First of all, do you need to be convinced that SmackDown has a chance to beat Raw in the ratings this week, or are you kind of with me that this would be the week to do it, given how relatively close they were last week? Raw went up against Dallas Cowboys, against the Detroit Lions, which is, you know, Dallas always draws good Monday night ratings. And SmackDown pushed and advertised this lineup for a couple of weeks, and John Cena showed up.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. You know, I hate to be the what Mark calls me, the killer, the buzz, not the buzz,
the killer of dreams,
the killer of all joy. But I mean, one of the things that SmackDown might have caught up with, and virtually has caught up with Raw, it's not because everything's growing. It's because SmackDown's growing a little bit, and Raw continues its slow slide. So it's interesting, but I don't know that it's good news.
Well, it's good news if Raw holds its rating that you would expect anyway, up against the Cowboys, and if SmackDown grows, because they get benefit, they get paid off for promoting the show for a couple weeks. So if that's the case, yeah, that's good. But obviously, if SmackDown beats Raw simply by drawing a normal rating on a week when SmackDown when WWE did a better job of promoting SmackDown than any time I can remember, loaded up the show with three title matches, the three biggest championships, arguably, if you think the SmackDown women's title is bigger than the IC title, but nevertheless, semantics aside, three big title matches and the return of John Cena without Dallas Cowboys competition. And they're not the day after Christmas when people are still a little discombobulated, still traveling, exhausted, whatever it is. We'll see. I'm curious. I just think this is one of the rare weeks where it's worth having a conversation about. And when I boldly predict it, I think it'll be, you know, 0.02 of a point. I mean, I don't expect a crushing defeat.
Yeah, I think it might happen. I mean, yeah, and I think John Cena, you need that returning star to move ratings, and I think they have it. The other stuff is fine and nice, but SmackDown's needed that lead babyface, and John Cena's one of those.
Yeah, so what did you think of John Cena's opening promo, Bruce? And obviously the big news, I should say obviously, some people didn't hear this, but the big news, John Cena declared that he will be challenging the winner of the world title match on SmackDown at the Royal Rumble. And he says he can do that because he's John Cena. And he then showed up to face AJ Styles at the end.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was John Cena doing good babyface, State of the Union, State of the SmackDown Union promo work, and to me, the interesting part, I wouldn't expect any less, and it was, you know, pretty much what you see. He dealt with, he wasn't as successful as getting Chicago fans off his back as Stephanie McMahon was, although I wrote about this week, and I thought Stephanie McMahon, it looked really clever, but it also was like, when you turn off the crowd, that's not a good thing. And she did. He wasn't successful using the Cubs because I think they saw it as the blatant pandering that it was, even for John Cena to blatantly pander like that. But it was good. You know, it was good. It was like there was more energy to it. It was more big star promo, and they don't have a big star promo on the show, and they need one. And so that was good. And as far as, you know, I thought the news of John Cena going for the WWE title at the Royal Rumble was interesting to me, because I think, you know, that is going to be a major plot point. I hope they have something in mind where AJ gets through this match. I mean, clearly, John Cena, you know, AJ has beaten John Cena cleanly a couple of times, so clearly AJ, you know, like, owes that favor back, and they've been building that match back up. But I think it'd be a better thing for John Cena. It'd be a more of a WrestleMania moment for John Cena to win and tie the Ric Flair record and all that good stuff. So I'm interested that they're already pulling the trigger on his title defense at Royal Rumble, because they have reasons to, like, build it up or put obstacles in his way to keep it away from the Royal Rumble.
Does it make you think it's more likely that it's Cena versus Undertaker at WrestleMania now?
Could be, yeah. I think so. And
yeah,
he, like,
yeah,
you know, he kind of blew off the like fans were chanting Undertaker at him, and he acknowledged it without acknowledging it, which was interesting.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that makes you think.
It made me think. He said, "There's a lot of people telling me what I'm going to be doing next, but I'm here to declare what I'm doing next." I thought he handled it well. I am at a point now where I love watching John Cena talk when it's not every week, especially because he is so in command of the room. And
right.
he just owned that arena, and he's got, you know, however many tens of millions of dollars in the bank, and a really good he has enough he's done what he needs to do in order to have a more than satisfactory career, even at a top star level. And so there's just not a lot of risk left. So he could go out there and get booed or cheered. And it's like he's sort of at a point where it's like, yeah, you know, I got FU money for, you know, to just walk out here. I'm the top star. Nobody knocked me off my perch. There's that stride of confidence that he has that really works well for him in that position. And he's quick on his feet. And I thought he was quick on his feet here. And what I like, unlike Roman Reigns, I've never sensed, and I don't mean to turn this into Roman Reigns bashing, Bruce, but I've never sensed that Roman Reigns enjoyed a moment that he has stood in the Raw ring in the last couple of years. Like I have gotten the vibe that he'd rather be out clubbing or at the gym or doing whatever he does. Like, and John Cena walks out, whether it's true or not, it doesn't even matter. The point I'm making, he looks like he wants to be nowhere else in the world but there, and that counts for something.
No, I mean, the phrase you used, you know, owning the room, that's what big stars do, particularly big babyface stars. And you need to be, and particularly veteran big babyface stars. And so you need to be comfortable. You need to be, you know, taking that moment, that looking around, taking your time. And no one in WWE really does that right now except for John Cena. Like, you look at all the rest of them, there's some good promos, there's some not so good promos. But there's not a great promo, and there's not a I'm a star promo, and that's what promos should do for you. I mean, that's one of the two things you should do besides setting up that conflict. It's you should be watching the guy going, that's a star. And whether you like John Cena or not, you're watching him going, that's a star, and you're watching him. So, it's good to have that. It was good to have that on the show tonight.
Yeah, very good. All right, we're going to go to our first break of the program. When we come back, we're going to start taking your phone calls. So give us a call. I see a lot of usual callers, which is great. But if you're an unusual caller, I mean, if you're an infrequent caller, that's the word I'm looking for, or a first-time caller, we'd love to hear from you too. So don't be shy, but you have to push 1 on your Touchstone phone to move into our caller queue when you call. So give us a call right now during the break, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345, and push 1 on your Touchstone phone. And when we return, we'll start taking calls. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, and we will be back right after this word from our sponsors. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back, and we are live. I'm Wade Keller, editor of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, pwtorch.com, and mmatorch.com, joined by Pro Wrestling Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, whose columns appear just about every week in the PW Torch newsletter, which is available in a PDF format and also in all-text format exclusively for VIP members. And you can become a VIP member by going to pwtorch.com/goVIP. pwtorch.com/goVIP. Get full details on everything that comes with a membership. Ad-free access to our website. Nearly 3 decades of archives. Every major story. Every major pay-per-view. Every major match. Every big twist and turn in this industry. from the announcement of Monday Nitro to the announcement going back a few years earlier to Monday Night Raw starting, we've been there for all of it, covering it with cover stories, roundtable reviews, in-depth Q&A Torch Talks, longest-form interviews with wrestling's top stars and newsmakers going on 30 years now. And so much more comes with the membership, along with an iPhone and Android-friendly RSS feed for VIP-exclusive podcasts, about 75 a month, every single day. There's one, two, three, sometimes four podcasts, usually new ones covering new content, but some cool features, including the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, reviewing past pay-per-views, and now past Nitros and Raws in real time with analysis, plenty of quips, and some insider perspective. And retro radio shows, Jim Valley's Total Chaos Radio, that featured today's co-host, Bruce Mitchell, just went up last week. It was at a time when there was speculation in October 2000, Bruce, of whether WCW would be bought by the WWF. And we had 6 months more of a roller coaster ride and some twists and turns before that happened. And we also have last week's midweek flagship co-host, guest co-host John Arezzi, was on last Wednesday with me. He is the host of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show that you can hear just about every Thursday night. That's a VIP feature also, where you can hear those shows from the late 80s through the mid-90s. Fascinating going back in time. And I was a regular guest on that show. And that also comes with a VIP membership. It is top-shelf content, a wide variety. We'd love to have you as a member for the new year. Go to pwtorch.com/go-VIP. Bruce, do you remember talking to Jim Valley about that WCW, the possibility of WCW selling to WWF at that time?
I think you'll back me up on this, having listened to the show recently. Everything I said came to be. I got it all right. Yes, I do. Yep. I remember every moment of it. And good show. Fun to listen
yes.
to.
Yes. So cool. We'd love to have you as a member. And if you haven't tried it before, check it out. If for some reason you had to let your sub lapse or canceled, we'd love to have you back for the new year. Things are starting to heat up. Bruce, before we go to the first call, I just want to get your thoughts on Baron Corbin's performance. He was protected in the finish. They didn't want Baron Corbin taking the pin. Dolph Ziggler was the designated jobber in the triple threat match, of course. How do you think that they handled Baron Corbin? How did he handle himself on the promo and in the match?
Well, that's how you get big guys who don't have a lot of experience and who haven't shown a lot in the ring to learn how to work. And also you get them over by having experienced very good to great, great workers in the ring with them. And he held up his end, and I thought it was the best match I'd ever seen him in. And if he's got some, you know, he's showing improvement on the promos and in how he plays his character, and he needs to do more of that, and then he needs to be more credible in the ring. And tonight was a step in the right direction. I don't know if it was a career making performance like JBL said, but that's the job of it. JBL is to hype the hell out of everything. But I thought he did.
I thought that was your job.
Yeah, that's my job. That's why you read all the commercials. Yep. So.
All right. Very good. I should know we've got correspondents on site at the building tonight, and we hope to maybe hear from somebody who was in the building. The dark match they announced, by the way, this is from Joseph Galizia, who is a new PW Torch specialist, who writes, I think, really entertaining previews. They're called the Raw Primer and the SmackDown Primer every Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon. And you can check those out at pwtorch.com. He's on site tonight in Chicago. He's currently covering 205 Live, which is being broadcast right now on WWE Network. They did announce a main event that would follow 205 Live, in part to kind of keep people in their seats after two straight nights of wrestling action for probably 10,000 of those fans. Cena and Ambrose teaming up against AJ Styles and Miz. So that is the dark match that was just announced after SmackDown went off the air. A dark match before SmackDown went on the air. Curt Hawkins against Apollo Crews. Apollo won that one. No surprise there. Bruce, how about we get into phone calls?
No.
I need your approval. I need your approval. No. Well, you just want to talk more, don't you?
That's what you get for asking.
I know. All right. Just trying to, you know, make good radio. Just kind of smoothly move from one to the other. Anyway, I asked for new callers. Let's try a new caller here. We're going to go to area code 970. If you are on hold, we're about to go to you. Please state your name and where you are calling from.
Hey, Wade. Bruce. This is Brandon from Colorado. I called last week as well.
Oh, cool.
Don't have a SmackDown related tonight. Exactly question, but don't know if you guys saw. I was going through Twitter as the show went on, and Bret Hart posted a tweet about how proud he is of Nikki and with all the hard work. And WWE's Twitter account reposted it. So I just want to see if you guys think this is something they're planning for maybe WrestleMania or something with Natty and Nikki, or get your guys' thoughts on that.
Bruce, you want to react?
I would be really surprised. I don't know. I saw it. It came out of nowhere. I thought that Nikki did a great job of reading each and every word of her lines. And I don't know why tonight would precipitate that. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to read into that. It's Bret Hart, and it seems like something he might say anyway just to be in the mix of conversation. I wouldn't necessarily read too much into it, but I wouldn't rule anything out. But it doesn't jump out to me as for sure anything, Brandon, just to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's perfect. It just seemed weird after last week and then this just popping up. But that makes sense.
Yeah, so anything else for us?
I know. I'm just watching 205 Live. So I've been you guys just did your VIP plug, and I've been one for a little over a year now, and I've really enjoyed it. So, just to back up your plug, if people are listening, it's something I think you'll get your money's worth out of.
Brandon, what was the selling point besides getting to hear more of Bruce Mitchell, of course, because, you don't
Why
have
did
to
you
say
do that. Let him say the selling point was me. Why did you, cut that out
because
of the possibility?
Because we know that's probably the case, and that's why he called eagerly today too, because he wanted to talk to you. No, Brandon, what was the selling point? If you even remember, what was the trigger to get you to go VIP?
To go all the way back, I started listening to the Stone Cold podcast, and you were on there quite a bit, obviously, and so I just, you plugged your show one time, and so I listened to it for a little while on the free version, and then just enjoyed it enough that I figured I'd try the rest and see what going VIP got me, and it's definitely worth it.
Cool. Brandon, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again next time. All right, that's Brandon, VIP member from Colorado. Let's go next to area code 304. You're up next, 304. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Dave from Milton, West Virginia.
Well, Dave, thanks for calling. What have you got for Bruce and me?
Well, I'm wondering how long it's going to be until Renee is in the corner of Dean Ambrose for the big Miz.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it looked tonight, the whole setup in the interview and all that. But what do you think?
Bruce, your thoughts on the interjecting Renee Young into the storyline in general, and then specifically what they did tonight with her. I enjoyed her nonchalance just trying to get through the question with Miz. I'm not quite sure how I feel about her not just doing her job once again, but I guess given what happened last week and how unprofessional Renee acted, I guess I could understand her being kind of pouty about everything, given that she resented Miz bringing not just bringing up her personal life, but doing so in the way that he did. I guess, do you think her body language this week and the way she reacted to what happened last week fit?
Oh, I don't think you got the point here. She was Lana. She set up Miz. She went to Miz, got him out of the locker room, asked him the question just to get him out of the locker room so that her boyfriend, Dean Ambrose, could beat up Miz for insulting his spouse. It's
now,
the exact
I
same thing, except this time they got the baby faces right. The insulted woman did it, and it was still an ambush. As far as professionally goes, it was incredibly unprofessional. But I was sitting there watching it going, she should tell him to come. Renee Young should say, no, I'm not going to the locker room. You insulted me in the ring last time. You want this exposure, you can come to me. But then I saw what happened, and I was like, okay, I can see it. Yeah, I think we could see Renee Young backing up Dean Ambrose with Maryse backing up the Miz. I definitely think that might be on the horizon.
Bruce, if there's anything that I'm here to do, it's to support your arguments. It's to back up and strengthen the points that you make, and never bring up anything that might contradict it at all.
So don't.
But
stop right there.
Right. Well, no.
There you are.
But I get emails, so I need to.
Well, yeah,
I just want to make this point. Earlier in the show, the other interview woman who WWE doesn't ever mention her name, so as a professional, there must be a good reason for it. Her identity, Bruce, must be top secret, right? Because she doesn't get the courtesy of actually getting her name mentioned. It's like the referees for years when they wouldn't give them names. But she wanted to interview Miz, and Miz said, no, I will only do an interview if it's Renee Young. And then it was a half hour later, give or take, that's when Renee Young showed up. So if we want to give Renee Young credit for an ambush, then it was kind of happenstance luck that Miz insisted that she interview him.
I don't know. It still fits. I mean, you're right, but it still fits.
Had Miz not said, I won't talk to you, I'll only talk to Renee, it would have been awkward for Renee to go knock on his door and for Miz to step out and get ambushed, because he could just say, I already interviewed, I have nothing to say to you. I mean,
but they knew his ego, he'd want to talk to, he's a delusional jerk heel,
even though he'd want to talk
to Renee.
And Dean was in a security shirt, by the way.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cool.
That fits my scenario.
Yes. Okay. Dave, well, good. I, if nothing else, I want you to, in the end, be able to back up your point well, Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
all right,
you examined
Dave,
it and found out. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Dave. What else we got for us?
I was going to say, hey, you guys, been a VIP guy for about 3 years. Enjoy your old product, and really enjoy the Bruce Mitchell audio show, by the way. Just want to say that. But thanks a lot for everything you guys do. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dave, thank you for being a member and actually mentioning it here and for your kind words. Really appreciate it. Absolutely. You too. All right, let's go to our mystery caller. This is 111, which means a block call, so this is always exciting, or a Skype call. Go ahead. If you heard a beep, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Go ahead, 111. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to put you back on the and then I'll put you back on the air. You will have heard a couple beeps. That means it is you, and you get one more chance. Go ahead and state your name if you're on hold. Okay, so now if you are about to be hung up on, that was your chance. Maybe give us a call back. All right. that ends that. So let's now go to our next caller here on the live cast. We have 513. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. 513.
Hey, it's Chris from Cincinnati.
Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
I've been waiting to call in for this show because John Cena is my favorite wrestler, and I wanted to see what his next step would be. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed, though, that he's just outright going for the title. I thought that the better story would have been if he were to enter the Royal Rumble and then win that, and then maybe you do AJ Styles versus Taker at the Rumble, and then Taker wins that, and then you can have the Cena and AJ match at Fastlane or whatever the next pay-per-view would be, and then Cena can overcome him and then go on to The Undertaker. But based on what they did tonight, I guess that's not happening. I see Cena beating AJ at the Rumble, and then they'll do it again at Fastlane, and then John Cena will face whoever wins the Royal Rumble at WrestleMania. What do you guys see the long-term plan being for John Cena? That's really all I have.
Ah, good question, Chris. Bruce.
Thank you.
You bet. What do you think of Chris's scenario? Any reason why that's not happening? And do you think Cena does go into WrestleMania as champion facing the Royal Rumble winner?
I think it could happen. I think all of that could happen. I don't think that that's precluded from anything. I don't know that it will, but it's not only does he tie Ric Flair's record, but does he but when he breaks it, and if they can get another, they've already kind of let the cat out of the bag as far as Undertaker is not going to be around just at WrestleMania. He'll be around for more. So that would all fit. Undertaker having a brief run as WWE champion would certainly help things, or at least at least keep things extended, giving them more time to get some of these regular, these regular TV stars over as big stars. But yeah, I think all that. I don't know if it's going to play out that way, but I think all of that's in play.
If Cena beats Styles, well, do you think Cena beats Styles at the Rumble?
If I had to bet, I think it's too early, but I'd bet yes.
Because, yeah, I'm not convinced.
Because Styles beat John Cena pretty decisively before he left, and they did that for a reason.
But so. They could be a three-year storyline. AJ's got Cena's number. Somebody else ends up beating Styles. Eventually, Cena wins the championship, and at WrestleMania 35, Styles finally gets a title shot, and people are convinced Styles is going to beat Cena. I mean, he's got Cena's number. They could play it up where it's a more long-term storyline, and Cena actually gets – Styles actually gets one more big win over Cena. I get the logic, and I'm with you mostly that if the pattern is if Cena keeps losing to AJ on the bigger show, the bigger star tends to reverse that, and the Rumble and or WrestleMania is the bigger show, and that's where you would now expect Cena to get his win back. But there could be other avenues they're taking. I wouldn't rule out Styles going into WrestleMania as champion, but I also wouldn't rule out Cena. If Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble, because some people are thinking, oh, maybe it'll be Styles against Undertaker at the Rumble. But now if it's Undertaker entering the Rumble, he could win. And that sets up Cena versus Undertaker with the title on the line. I kind of like the title being on the line in a Cena-Undertaker match because I don't think it gives away the finish. But I don't like this idea of, well, Cena-Taker doesn't need the belt, so give it to somebody else, because I think the belt, for it to be important, Bruce, should be part of a match that involves the top stars in an epic match. I think that gives the belt some extra juice, some extra credibility, some extra prestige that can be cashed in later when, quote, lesser established stars are also defending it on other pay-per-views.
Yeah, I mean, you said that the stars and Undertaker, Sting, John Cena don't need the belt. That's true. The belt needs the stars at this point. I mean, it really could use that kind of boost. I don't know that there's a 3-year plan, just because I just don't see Vince McMahon booking with very much patience for the last few years. But
I didn't mean for that to be a laugh line, but my point was Vince could have in the back of his mind, Cena will get his win back some other time, but I want AJ to go into Mania as a champ, and maybe we can use that Styles has Cena's number down the line. I am with you. There's no way Vince has WrestleMania 35 booked out.
Right. I mean, it's just
he might keep
I mean,
it in
those are all possibilities. Those are all possibilities. I mean, and that's the good part right now is they do have some places that seem credible that would draw fans to go.
Absolutely. All right, Bruce Mitchell, Torch, senior columnist for 26 years and counting, is my guest on today's PW Torch livecast. It's Tuesday, December 27th, right after SmackDown, with 205 Live still on the air. And we'll come back right after this message. It is our bottom of the hour break, as usual, a few minutes late. And when we come back, more of your phone calls and more discussion. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Bruce Mitchell. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back live. It is 9:35 Central after SmackDown ended. I'm Wade Keller, editor, publisher of Pro Wrestling Torch Newsletter, joined by Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell. And don't forget, tomorrow, Torch columnist Sean Radican joins me for the midweek flagship. Join us live from 1 to 2 Eastern. That's 10 to 11 Pacific time. We'll take calls, and we'll talk about more than just Raw and SmackDown with Sean Radican for sure, including we'll look ahead to ROH's 2017 and how important the Jay Lethal contract renewal that Sean Radican reported today at pwtorch.com is, and also the importance of Kyle O'Reilly getting or renewing his deal, getting a satisfactory offer and getting that deal done, and just the prospects of ROH in general. It won't just be all ROH for sure. We'll talk WWE, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and all that. But we certainly, on the midweek show, welcome and invite a wider array of topics that we cover, not just around SmackDown. And you can email us those questions right now if you happen to be listening to us but won't be able to join us live. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com if you have a question for Sean and me on tomorrow's program. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and go next to VIP member Scott from Jamesburg, New Jersey. Scott, thanks for holding and your patience. What have you got for Bruce and me today?
Well, first, guys, happy holiday and happy new year.
Well, thank you very much. You too.
You're very welcome, guys. And, guys, I just three
Bruce
quick
doesn't
things.
Feel that way.
No, Scott's my man. He knows it.
And Wade, why I am a VIP member is all that Bruce Mitchell audio. It is just unbelievably great. Everyone loves listening to it, and it was great last week having it up a little early before the holidays.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate all the compliments. I enjoy hosting the show. Well,
yeah. You're so, guys, here's my...
Perfect.
Guys, my first thing is I really enjoyed SmackDown tonight, and I really enjoyed just the way it felt like, you've said it, Wade, everything was booked. Everything felt like there was a purpose. The tremendous year AJ had, I feel it really, the way they ended the show, it really was a good way to end the show and give you something to look forward to, because I think AJ versus Cena at Rumble is going to be really good at considering the matches they had over the summer. So that's my first thing. What do you guys think about where we're heading with that?
Bruce?
Yeah, they have good matches. Yeah, no doubt. I think that, like, they've got some chemistry. AJ really knows how to work with John Cena, and John Cena knows his act. And I expect that to be, you know, whatever happens, I expect it to be a really good match. I also expect it to, you know, it'll give AJ Styles someone to do promos with that he can, you know, he can rise up to match, hopefully. And that'll be, you know, that'll be pretty cool. I look forward to that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Cena and AJ can go. And I like the interaction tonight, Bruce, between AJ and Cena. Just getting back to SmackDown specifically and what they did to close the show. AJ wasn't heelish. You know, I mean, he was confident. He was alpha. He was trying to be the alpha male, but he acted like he belonged in the ring with John Cena, because he knows he does in so many checkboxes. And he's had a great 2016. He laid the belt down, then he picked it up, and they went back and forth the way that you would expect two UFC fighters who believe they're the best in their division to go at each other. I like that sports-like feel, and I thought that AJ, it's one of the strengths AJ has, is I won't say never, but right now he's certainly in a position where he also owns the room as a guy that he knows everybody in that building respects as the best or one of the best in the business. And he doesn't seem like he's out to prove it anymore. He seems like people acknowledge that. And he carries that confidence with him, even interacting with a guy like John Cena, where in Styles' mind, he's kind of in it, that John Cena's right. You know, this is his company, and Cena and AJ just came in. I like the way that AJ held his ground with Cena tonight without just going kind of cartoonishly heel.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think the part of when you have the big title fight, you don't need to do all that other stuff. Just let them be stars staring each other down, particularly the first time. They didn't need, you know, AJ didn't need to beat up John Cena. John Cena didn't need to drive AJ from the ring. I think they did a good job with that. And AJ was a little heelish, like getting a little aggressive, but not too much. And, yeah, down the line, I mean, you know, I think AJ's a great wrestler. I don't know that he's a great heel, because his great wrestling is so respected, and how he like carries himself, except for what he says in his promos, or, you know, it's really respectable.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Scott. I was going back to you anyway. Yep.
Thanks, Wade. My next thing, guys, I think going in, I'm just wondering, you know, you're heading into the Rumble, and I think that things are about to pick up, and I'm really excited. And I think this year with the two championships, and with Roman Reigns being in a title match already at the Rumble, I think things are wide open at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, as you said lately, there's a lot of guys that could possibly win the Royal Rumble. And I'm wondering what you guys are thinking. And I just think that Brock, you know, already having Brock and Goldberg definitely in there, you know, just like you were saying, Undertaker, I think that this can have some endless possibilities. And do you guys have any feeling as a favorite as we end this year and head into the new year of who could win the Rumble?
Bruce, I assume we'll narrow it down by mid-January, just based on hopefully not word getting out, because I'm kind of irritated by that in this era. I just keep, everyone should keep spoilers to themselves internally. But tell us a story where we're convinced going into that Sunday that we believe that there are 3 to 6 legit candidates to win that match. I think that should be WWE's goal going into the Royal Rumble every year. I think that builds up the feeling of I need to see this. And it doesn't mean every match in all of pro wrestling needs an unpredictable outcome, but boy, the Royal Rumble is better when it does have an unpredictable outcome. I hope that, you know, we're looking at, like I said, 3 solid and 3 dark horse candidates roughly going into that Sunday's event. And I think they can achieve that, Bruce. I think that's in the cards right now, that there could be 3 to 6 people who seem legit possibilities. Finn Balor, if Undertaker's in it, Undertaker, Lesnar and Goldberg, I mean, I think you could convince yourself that that might end up being a title match of some kind, if one of them won going after the belt. So I don't know. I mean, you can list the names, and Roman Reigns will probably be in there too, and I think he'll be a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of Royal Rumble we're headed for. And I think there are years and are times, it shouldn't be every year, but there are years and times when there's a rising star that the fans are all getting behind. That
Roman Reigns.
You want to be predictable. I was thinking Daniel Bryan. The year that everybody wanted Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know, Bryan. And you give the fans, and in those type of years, it's a good idea to give the fans what they're looking for and be predictable. But I think that this is not one of those years, and there are some possibilities. And there's also just with, you know, particularly with Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg involved, for sure, you've got some storyline things to play out with the Rumble that whether one of them wins or not, you still got something good. You've still got something, you still got a very intriguing Rumble. So hopefully this will be one of those years when things start to pick up around Royal Rumble time, and then we go into WrestleMania with a better deal.
Guys, you're awesome. Last thing, I just want to thank you guys again for, as a VIP member, Bruce Wade, you give me so much great audio to listen to throughout the year. And really enjoy it. It is the best $9.99 I spend each month. And really keep it up. It's really great. Looking forward to a great 2017. And my last thing, since I have the both of you on, because that never happens that you guys are on together taking live calls, can I ask one big picture Hall of Fame thing?
Sure.
I think going in, 2 names, guys, that I was wondering about, Wade and Bruce. You just mentioned one. Could this be the year? Could Daniel Bryan headline the Hall of Fame? And my second guy is, with it being in Florida, he works for the company. Could Dean Malenko go in this year? Guys, I'll be listening. Thanks for all the great audio and everything you do for the VIP members. Thanks again, guys, and I'll be listening.
Thanks, Scott. Bruce, I think Daniel Bryan would fight it with a passion. He does not want to be the retired guy who is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's also a year or two early for it. They still got the Undertaker card to play. They can never get Rock to agree. That's the card they can play. And they can play the Bill Goldberg card, frankly. I mean, you know, they can do that. And so, I would be surprised at that. You know, whatever's going to happen with Daniel Bryan, and my personal hope for his and his family's well-being is that he does not wrestle again. But I don't know that that's going to be the case, and I do very much believe it won't be with WWE. And I think you're right. I think he'd fight that. As far as Dean Malenko goes, it'd be like a gold watch for him, you know, particularly as a longtime agent. I don't expect it, though. I'll put it like that.
I think the odds are better, being that it's the year of the cruiserweights, with the cruiserweight division being established and Dean being a really big part of that Nitro cruiserweight era. I could see that being used to justify it, and that's why I would lean a little stronger in thinking it's a possibility than you are, Bruce, but I'm not saying his name would have come to my mind without Scott prompting us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Give us a call, 515-605-9345. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell. And this is the PW Torch Livecast. As always, you can find this show at pwtorchlivecast.com. You can find out when the next show is going to air, who's going to be on. You can find out the phone number to call, the streaming link, and you can listen to past shows On Demand, the most recent show, and past shows. On the right sidebar is a list of our latest interviews. We ran a Best of Kevin Nash interview last Thursday. 1 hour aired for Livecast listeners. The full 2 hours of a awesome interview with Kevin Nash from 2013 was put up for VIP members on the VIP audio feed. So if you haven't checked that out yet, some really good feedback from people who did not hear that interview back in 2013. We've got a lot of new listeners. Don't skip that one. It's Kevin Nash at his best as an interview subject, and it was WrestleMania season 2013, and a fascinating conversation on a wide array of topics, including CM Punk, whose name was chanted again tonight in Chicago. Bruce, did you think there were more or less enthusiasm and chants for CM Punk than you anticipated with two straight nights in Chicago?
I think that they didn't want. They figured they. I don't know. I think the crowd learned their lesson a little bit with Stephanie McMahon and didn't want to get set up to get burned again. And
yeah,
that probably slowed it down a little bit. And also, two nights of wrestling. You know, you're passionate about sticking it to the man and chanting CM Punk, and then by the second night, maybe you're maybe you're a little seat sore.
Yes. I'm kind of curious what Punk's response was to that. Did he think, God, they got me? Or did he think, I'm getting up even earlier to train for MMA tomorrow? What's your take on that? Obviously, he's not going to sell it publicly.
Yeah, there's not a lot he can say. You know, I would think he would just go on and keep working and think they're a bunch of jerks and what he thinks of them. And I think he has divorced himself from them. So it seems that way to me. So I don't think we'll hear. I think the only response is if he's still, dead set on fighting is to go and train and go and train hard. And, the only other response is, at least I got in the Octagon, but that doesn't, I don't know, when you get waxed the way he did, I don't think that's even that great a response.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that Mickey Gall looked pretty damn good in his follow-up fight against a legit up-and-comer, too. So that helps, because had Mickey Gall just gone on to be a failure, that makes Punk look worse. But anyway, got a lot of people on hold, so let's keep rolling through calls. Let's go to area code 702 next. 702, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys, what's going on? This is Joey in Chicago. How are you?
Doing well. Were you at the show tonight, Joe? Oh, yeah. Hey, Joey. Good to hear from you.
What's up, Wade?
Not too much. Pronounce your last name for me, because I spell it so many ways, I've lost track of how to pronounce it.
Oh, you know what? That's kind of become like my gimmick, I suppose. That's how I'm going to get over, is by having just a name that's always misspelled. It's G-A-L-I-Z-I-A.
And it's, say it for us, though.
It's Galizia. It's very Italian, very Santino Marella-like. Galizia.
Galizia, I love it. All right. You can find his previews of Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Tuesday afternoon on pwtorch.com, and you were in attendance tonight. I urged you to give us a call and tell us how things went at the show tonight. What do you think we should know from watching the show on TV but not being there?
It's a good show. 205 is actually still going on right now with Neville and Swan in the main event. They had some CM Punk chants go on early, and then it was kind of faded away. I think that's a lot to do with what Steph said last night. But a good solid show. You know, you had American Alpha going over, winning the tag belts over the Wyatts. I think that was a surprise. That was definitely the surprise of the night. And then in the dark segment, when they went to commercial, they came back out and they were getting You Deserve a Chance. So that was pretty fun. Overall, though, a really good SmackDown. I think the highlight of the evening for me was Baron Corbin, who just certainly proved that he deserves to be in the main event scene, because he was really dominating most of the triple threat between Ziggy and AJ in the end there.
Talk about the crowd response for John Cena, Baron Corbin, AJ Styles, and Dolph Ziggler for those big four names on the show tonight.
So Cena came out to a really good response. I mean, obviously it's Chicago, so there was a lot of John Cena sucks. The best was during his promo. He tried to give a little rub to the Cubbies, but there unfortunately were more White Sox fans in the audience. So we got a "Let's Go Sox" and "Cubs Suck" chant, and that was kind of exciting. Cut his promo,
Joey, real quick, are there generally more White Sox wrestling fans than Cubs fans? Like, why did that shake out that way?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, because of where the arena is, it's like definitely, you know, it's closer to O'Hare, so it's definitely more like Northside-y. So I was surprised too. I mean, yeah. Honestly, I saw as many Blackhawks jerseys as there were wrestling shirts.
Yeah.
You know, and I think people refuse to admit it, but I think the biggest sport following in Chicago would be the Hawks. But I did not know. I mean, I really didn't assume that there was going to be. I mean, Cena said. Are there a lot of White Sox fans here? And you would have thought they got a pop like The Undertaker just came out. I mean, people just were going crazy. Anyway, Cena got great response. A lot of boos for Ziggler, a lot of boos and nod-offs for Corbin. And AJ has obviously got cheered the most during the main event. So.
And how was it? This is the first time you've been at a show where they did 205 Live afterwards. I know it's still ongoing, but was there a mass exodus? Did the tag match, the dark tag match that you emailed about, keep people in their seats?
Hasn't happened yet. I think they announced that for after 205, so that's probably going to be something that's not going on the network or anything here.
Right.
Hold on, if I'm sneaking in, you can hear some of the crowd. You got people cheering for Neville. These guys are putting on a great match. I'm sort of watching it while I'm talking. But
yeah, cool.
I'm still a little I mean if it were me, it would just make the most sense for 205 to go on before SmackDown. You know, it's only an hour, usually 45 minutes. At least that's why I've been clocking it in when I do the live reports. It seems especially like it's going on before SmackDown that it would be, you know, a good warm up for the crowd. A lot of the crowd, including myself, is tired from the main event because the main event was so good. So personally, I would clock it. I would put it on before SmackDown, but that's just me. That's just my opinion.
Anybody leave their seats after SmackDown ended?
Come back. A good number of people left. The big highlight, I'd say, of 205 was Mustafa Ali came out, and it was his 205 debut. But he's a Chicago boy, so he got a big pop. Went over in the match. His finisher is like a reverse 450 splash. It's really cool. I mean, it got just as much excitement as the Red Arrow just did when Neville just did it. And then he cut a pretty nice promo right afterwards, saying how he appreciates the WWE universe, especially Chicago, and that obviously went over well. So, you know, a good show. You know, with SmackDown and 205, I'd say we're both pretty solid tonight. Unfortunately, being here, I didn't get to hear any of Austin Aries' commentary, so that's probably, like, the biggest flaw in the evening.
Very good. Any other reaction to the tonight's show, Joey, that you want to share with us before we move on?
You know, just this is like the fourth show I've been to at Allstate, and I'll always appreciate the great Chicago fans. But just a lot of dueling chants during matches that sort of made them a little bit feel uneventful. I mean, you know, in the opening tag match, they were cheering for the RKO the whole match.
Yeah.
Chanting for the move, and then the move never came. So there seemed like a lack of disappointment, especially the finish came out of nowhere. So just, you know, kind of odd when you have two crowds that are obviously there for two different things. I mean, it's one of the most diverse crowds I've seen. I mean, just in my section, I was sitting with my buddies, you know, next to a family, next to a bunch of Marks, and then next to a bunch of White Sox fans. Like, I just, you know, you spin me around, I don't know which way I'm going.
Yeah. All right, well, cool. I'm glad you called and gave us that in-person perspective. It's one of the cool things we're doing here on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, more times than not, is getting somebody who was at the event to call us and give us that in-person perspective. So I appreciate it, Joey.
Yeah, you bet, Wade. Take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You can read Joey Galizia's article at Joey, I muted him right as he was repeating his name. Joey Galizia, I'll study that on a replay of the show and try to get that down. He was at Chicago tonight, and you can check out his articles, Raw Primer and SmackDown Primer, among other articles, at pwtorch.com. Bruce, any reaction to anything he said?
No, that was good insight. I mean, there's always something about being there and seeing how everybody reacts live. And there's also, you know, just production that takes away some things that we sit at home and see. So, yeah, you know, who's really over, it's a better indication, I always think.
All right, let's go next to 201. Thank you for holding. 201, state your name and where you're calling from. 201.
Hey, Wade, it's John from New Jersey. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for calling, John. What have you got for Bruce and me?
Hey, have they confirmed that Elimination Chamber is a SmackDown pay-per-view? Because I thought that's where AJ should drop the belt, so then he would be protected if he lost in a, you know, a six-man match instead of, you know, losing out to Cena at the Royal Rumble. and then you could have either Taker or Cena win at Chamber, and then they go into their match.
It is a I know Ticketmaster has advertised it as a SmackDown exclusive event.
No, I mean, okay, yes, because I thought that's the way they should go. Is
yeah,
yeah, I thought that's the way they should go, is where they can protect Styles, and then they can still do Cena Taker for the belt, and then I don't know where that leaves AJ as far as a match at Mania, but Vince seems to reward the old guys around Mania, so I thought that's probably what they would end up doing.
Yeah, no, I think so too, Bruce. How much? Where do you think AJ Styles is on Vince's priority list? Like, you know, on a 1 to 5 scale, if Taker, Lesnar, Goldberg, and Cena, and maybe Roman Reigns are 5, where does Cena fall in that next tier? Is he right there with Seth, or is he? Is there a kind of a big drop off after the first batch of big names? You know, Triple H, for instance.
Yeah, I think that AJ Styles losing the title is going to be more about John Cena. And I think it's going to be a strong win for John Cena, and then you build up some more conflict. And I think AJ will be fine in that scenario. I don't think they'll do the thing where the heel champion loses, but he doesn't really lose because someone else got pinned for the belt. I think John Cena will be put over strong for the next couple of title wins that he has. But yeah, whatever he is, he's below John Cena. And that doesn't mean he's not way up there. He is, but you know, Vince has got a star that he's comfortable with, that has a lot of mainstream approval, that still he expects to move numbers and wants to be this legendary figure. So, and also, just like I said, they put AJ Styles over very strong before with John Cena on television before Cena left this time. So I think that I think that the pendulum will swing the other way.
John Cena just showed up on the Talking Smack set. I'm looking forward to watching that after the live cast here tonight, seeing what he has to say. We'll have a report, by the way, on Talking Smack later on the site, along with the 205 live report later tonight too. So if you don't have a chance to catch up, or you're listening to us on delay and didn't get to see either of those shows, we'll get you full coverage of that in a summary of what happened on the shows with our articles there on the site. So definitely check out pwtorch.com. On another X factor at WrestleMania that kind of plays into this is Finn Balor. Bruce, I put up highlights of Finn Balor's interview with ESPN yesterday at pwtorch.com, and I put my analysis of some of the comments that he had that he made to ESPN too. So if you want to see where Finn Balor's status is for WrestleMania and if he's hoping to come back at the Royal Rumble or not, you can check those interview highlights out and also my take on what he had to say. Finn Balor, Bruce, do you think he comes back stronger or the same, or is there a drop off after getting a big push and then missing some time?
I think he comes back as a star. I mean, I think that, you know, you can send him out with that, you know, that big time ring entrance of his, and you know, for the first time on a major show, I mean, you know, first time in his return, and do it on a major show, and he should make a good deal of impact. I can't imagine he's hurt by it.
Yeah. I hope not. I mean, just sometimes you can be the flavor of the month, and then if you get injured, all of a sudden Vince is like, well, I moved on. But I think Finn Balor's pretty special, and I don't expect that to happen. And Neville is impressing the heck out of me with his heel demeanor, Bruce. I think he is carrying himself like an alpha in the cruiserweight division, which is what that division needed. I love his body language. I even like his interviews. I like his facial expressions. And in the ring, he absolutely can deliver. I'm very much a proponent of him being in the cruiserweight division. I think he has more upside in a division that is yet to be successful, in a place where people want to go to earn big money. But I think he has a chance to raise the cruiserweight division up and be featured better as a star in a way that might serve him in the heavyweight division later, as opposed to just being in the heavyweight division, kind of floundering as a guy they call out to do a job to Braun Strowman on, you know, 2 minutes notice.
Yeah. You don't know how many years I've been just bored to tears by listening to Mark Madden talk about backstage at WCW Nitro with his buddies Hall and Nash, and they go and Disco, and going on and on and on about their their idea for the gimmick, the Cruiserweight Bully, and now we've got the Cruiser. It took all these years, but we've got the Cruiserweight Bully. We've got this guy who's bullying the other Cruiserweights, who doesn't like the idea of the Cruiserweights, and is kicking their butt. And either you can look at it like Neville's telling the truth about Neville's telling the truth about how boring these guys are, have been manipulated to be. I definitely would put it that way. Or he's taken over. But yeah, he's giving them some energy. They need that. They need something like that instead of
and
these
vicious,
interchangeable.
They needed a badass, vicious, credible worker. And Todd Martin says, Neville's so good, he's going to be another one of those top heels who gets cheered. But if you put him in against the right guy, and Austin Aries might be that guy, this might be the opening for Aries to be a babyface. I think Neville as a heel against Austin Aries as a babyface in 2017 might be a match that puts the Cruiserweight division on the map at a higher level.
Yeah, they need something where there's an emotional grudge, where it's more than just these are great athletes doing
and star power.
Fine athletic things, and because
and
that
star
isn't
power.
Working, that usually doesn't. Yeah, it gives you some star power. That's where that can come from. So yeah, I hope so too. I think I will say this. I believe it's Sean Radican who said that when you listen to Neville and he says America didn't accept me, America didn't this. If you just replace America with the name Vince McMahon, I think it rings even more true. So
it does.
Good observation.
It's a great observation in part because I made the same observation independently of Sean. It is. I heard that promo and I was like, this is totally
shameless. Shameless. You can't let your guy have – all right, anyway.
Well, great minds think alike. I listened to that promo and I thought this is totally Neville getting to cut a promo, venting about what Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon were saying about him to his face on headsets, behind the scenes, whatever. And he gets to go out there and blame the fans for Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn blaming him for his accent and his face isn't – his face, his accent, his size, he's boring. That's all stuff that Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn say to each other on headsets about talent all the time. So I thought that worked. I thought it worked on a number of levels. And, yeah, I just think he's been stellar these last couple of weeks. All right.
They needed him.
Absolutely. John, you're still on with us. Any follow-up for us here on the live cast? John from New Jersey.
I didn't know it was still on. Sorry.
Right.
No, other than that, I only had just wanted to ask you if you thought that I didn't call last night, if you thought Jericho Owens is the Mania match on Raw for WrestleMania.
Bruce, yeah. Are they going to milk it, and then it's going to be Jericho against Owens? And if so, who's the babyface, who's the heel?
I don't know. I think that one's up in the air. I think that one depends on how things go. Jericho to me would be the babyface. I would hope, and then also the loser. But that Jericho would start giving people the list. Start giving the fans a chance to chant along with it, and Owens would get that hard edge back and want to kill his friend. And that's where you would, and you would ride that for a little while. But I don't think Vince McMahon wants – I think he wants Chris Jericho in that role of working with guys and getting them over. I don't know if he wants Chris Jericho to be over that much himself. So I think that's still to be determined.
Shane from Washington State emailed and said, hey, Wade and Bruce, which championship does a winner of the Royal Rumble fight for? Is it the WWE championship, or if a Raw wrestler wins, they earn a shot at the Universal title? Do you think they're going to leave it up to the wrestler? Are they going to determine it ahead of time that only one title shot's on the line, or will the wrestler get to choose?
I mean, I think it's more interesting. There's more intrigue in letting the wrestler choose. We'll see. I mean, maybe they'll want to save that for years to come. Depending on and it depends on what match they want, what match they want to have, or do they want to switch somebody over, or what kind of. If you do let the wrestler choose, then the wrestler needs to make an interesting choice to me. So, it depends on where they want to. It depends on what championship matches for Raw and SmackDown they want to end up with at WrestleMania.
Another email from Lucas, from Adelaide, Australia. And he said, I was wondering about the tag team division. I was happy to see American Alpha win the titles tonight. However, wouldn't it have been better to have them win at the Royal Rumble or a major pay-per-view? Just after your thoughts, I will be listening to you at work, which always makes the time pass faster. Yeah, Bruce, were you a little surprised by American Alpha winning the tag team titles, period, and winning them the way that they did on a TV show without all that much? There wasn't much of a buildup. I mean, they were just lost in the mix and not pushed at all, and suddenly they're tag champs.
Yeah, I thought it was too soon. I thought that I thought, you know, it's, and we've seen this so many times. There's a television show that they want a rating for. They want people to talk about. And so you get the gratuitous title change. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think that I like the idea. I just think this was rushed. I like the idea of the Wyatt family being strong. And I thought maybe they're going to do this tonight. I mean, you know, being really strong champions, that it would be tough to, it'd be tough to beat. So when American Alpha or whoever it was beat them, then, you know, it would be a big deal. And I think they're playing that storyline. They just rushed it too fast. I don't know that, I mean, it helped American Alpha, I'm sure, but I don't think it established them like it should have. And then whatever they're, you know, I think it's way too soon to do something with Luke Harper and Randy Orton and the Wyatt family. So I don't know, maybe they just play it off, and, you know, it looked weird to me how they did it. It didn't make any sense. You know, that spot didn't make very much sense to me with Luke Harper and Randy Orton. So we'll see how – but I'm willing to wait to see how it all plays out. But, no, it seemed rushed to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see him get a push. And if the beginning of your push is winning the tag titles, I mean, so be it. I'd rather have that than – have them not get a push, but I'd rather have the fans have a sense of who they are and why they should like them and cheer for them beyond just looking like, you know, young Kurt Angle's out there doing Kurt Angle style wrestling. You know, it'd be better to know their personality a little bit more. And I just think it's pretty clear Vince McMahon did not fall in love with their personalities the way that fans and I think viewers of NXT did. But, you know, their personalities in NXT developed organically and gradually over time in a way that you can't replay. That's one of the challenges in general with the NXT WWE dynamic is wrestlers get over in NXT, you know, like a Ty Dillinger, in part because of all the months and months or sometimes years that they earn the respect of the fans, kind of like Bret Hart did in the 80s and early 90s, going from the tag division to the IC title division. And then the post Hogan era fans wanted, you know, respected him and wanted to see him on top. And the story was all there in front of the same fan base. With NXT and American Alpha, the story isn't in front of the same fan base, and they've got this ongoing challenge of, do we repeat what it was that got American Alpha over in NXT, or do we assume people know, or do we have to go a new direction with them? And we even saw that with some of the women. You know, I still think Bayley is suffering the effects of that a little bit too, Bruce. I think it's an ongoing issue that they haven't really solved yet.
No, I agree. Yeah. You've got to get everybody. Everybody's kind of in a mess or a mass, and you've got to get.
But
them
what about what
out.
I said?
You got to take your time to do it, huh?
What about what I said specifically about NXT though, and that so much of the talent that when it gets called up, it's this fully developed act, but only a small slice of your audience has seen that develop. So on the main roster, do you redo it from scratch, or do you catch people up with video packages, or do you reframe them in a new way, or do you just take it case by case?
Yeah, I think you take the momentum of the successful act in NXT, you use the video packages, you make it seem like it's a big deal, like back in the territory days that we grew up with, where you would hear about someone coming in, so you can just act like it's a big, you know, like a big star is coming, like these guys are going to have some impact. And then, to me, it's all about, what are they going to do when they hit the ground? Are they going to, when they hit the ground on Raw or SmackDown, are they going to hit the ground running? Are they continue their momentum from NXT? Or is it they just kind of get into that mid-card mix and get damaged? And I think that's what, you know, I think when Vince chose the comedy of Rhino and Heath Slater over American Alphas, it really hurt American Alpha. It really hurt it really hurt them getting in and feeling fresh and feeling like something. They just seem like another team, and they've got to fight that over. And that, so I'd like to see synergy from NXT, like it's a major thing that they're leaving NXT, and then when they debut, when these acts from NXT debut, they debut much more like Finn Balor did. Or at least there's a plan that you go, okay, these are difference makers, and they're here for a reason. And even, you know, Baron Corbin just kind of showed up, and there he was, a guy, and that's, you know, he needed more time in NXT, number one, but, you know, and then he floundered because he was a guy, and they didn't seem to have a direction for him. He was just, oh, great, he's on the new roster. Oh, he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal for some reason.
Yeah, I disagree a little bit in that. I think they've been protecting Baron Corbin all along. I think Vince McMahon was I wouldn't say he was floundering. I think he was.
I think they protected him, but he just kind of, yeah he wasn't doing. He didn't seem to have. I don't know. He didn't seem to have a direction either.
Yeah, your answers are so much better when I feel like you've heard my question. That was good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. I've been doing it long enough to notice. So let's go back to the phone lines and wrap up with maybe this being the last call. We'll see how it goes. We're going to try a block call here. I'm not seeing your area code. So if you're on hold and you pushed one, listen for that tone and speak up and say your name and where you're calling from. And we'll try this again. There's the beep. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Wade, Bruce, this is Les Moore from California.
Hey, Les, how you doing?
Wow.
There was no beep, Wade. I just want to let you know.
Oh, this is bad news. There's supposed to be a beep. There's supposed to be something when I call and listen, I hear a beep. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, you guys were just talking about the tag team match and the title change, and I agree. I think it was really flat. I'm wondering what's next now, because it doesn't feel like the program with the Wyatts is hot enough to kind of continue, although I suppose they could do that. I'm wondering, are we going to see a team brought up? Maybe the Revival comes up from NXT. I like the match. I like American Alpha as tag team champions. It just feels really soon, and I'm not sure what's next. Who's their first challenger?
Bruce,
yeah,
I don't think they're...
A couple-
I was just going to throw it in and say, I don't think they're going to fully break up the Wyatt family yet, so I think that's probably what they do first. But I don't see Revival showing up until after WrestleMania.
Yeah, our friend Les Moore from the Talking Sheep podcast that rules all the IWC, I guess, right now. They
Talking Sheep, huh?
Yes, the Talking Sheep podcast with the Sheeties that said Britt Whitmire was not the voice. I was really upset by that. There's several things they can do. This came across to me sort of like a stunt. So one thing they can do is rematch them again, rematch the Wyatt family and American Alpha, and then the Wyatt family win, you know, and get the titles back. And you know, the idea is American Alpha proved that they could beat them, so it gives them some credibility, and then they go on with whatever they're doing with the Wyatt family. Or they can take the Wyatt family to the side and let the drama between Luke Harper and Randy Orton with Bray Wyatt, you know, refereeing, be an issue on its own, and American Alpha take on their friends, their old rivals, the Usos, except this time American Alpha has the titles and try to get something going with that. Or, as Les said, you could bring in the Revival, and the Revival beat American Alpha, and then, you know, in their debut, and then turn around and American Alpha chases them. So there's some things to do, but yeah, it seems flat to me. It just seems like
a
rating stunt.
What about the Vaudevillains?
No.
The Ascension.
No.
Maybe there'll be a trade for the Shining Stars. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's not
Hi
a
brother.
Deep division. Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
Hi, brother. I'm not saying
thank you.
Bro.
Yes. Mojo. We got to get Mojo and Curt Hawkins together as the X-Zack Ryder tag partner.
Oh, yeah.
Have them form a team. That could be Obnoxious Incorporated. I mean, my inclination is to think their first feud will be with the Wyatt family. And I wouldn't even be surprised if the Wyatts don't take the belts back. But it could go either way. It just depends on the pacing of what they're doing with Orton and Harper. I wish what they did with Orton and Harper went smoother tonight. That was even Mauro Ranallo called it as he saw it. And I was like, I'm not sure that what Mauro said is what was supposed to happen. And then JBL seconds later chimes in with, you know, Vince McMahon's version. Mauro, it's actually the other way around. It was Harper who knocked Randy off balance. That wasn't Randy hitting Harper, because I don't know how that happens. I mean, Mauro should know what the intent is and cover for a slip up. and JBL had to come in, you know, 8 seconds later and kind of cover for the slip up, but actually set the storyline in motion the way that it was intended. I have a feeling there was a little utterance from Morrow, I think, as he heard what Vince was telling JBL to say, that it was fun to kind of read into a little bit.
He did the same thing in the main event as well.
When
Corbin kind of came in to break up the pinfall after the super kick and AJ actually kicked out early, Morrow was calling it like Corbin broke up the pin, and it was JBL who was saying, no, he kicked out. Which I found interesting.
Another thing, on
the tag team talk again, it was interesting to me to see the emotional response of American Alpha having won, Jordan again kind of tearing up. And there's been a lot of talk about the women kind of crying, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Sasha. And for me, this one actually kind of stuck out a little bit more for me because, like we talked about, a little bit flat with the victory, kind of came out of nowhere, and yet like it was the emotional response that you would see after kind of a really long chase for the title. And just wondered, I know Wade, you were talking about Charlotte last week with Travis Bryant on the post-pay-per-view roundtable. I wanted to get your thoughts on Jason Jordan tearing up as well.
Yeah, it was an emotional title win. I think it sounds like a double standard to say this, but I think the women have to be more careful about it than the men, because they're in a business where almost every main event in history has, especially in WWE, has been men on top. And for the women to play into a stereotype when they're first getting a big push can work against them. By being critical of it, I'm not being critical of it because I think that it's bad television, but I think the reason I'm kind of picking my words carefully is I think when a heel cries emotionally after a victory, it's almost never good because you start seeing them as a human being as opposed to feeling upset, you know, with their victory and all that. So I think that's, to me, a heel crying when they win a title, especially if it feels genuine, to me is breaking character. A female doing it, I have less of a problem with, but still a problem with, if it's happening all the time, especially if it starts looking like it's genuine, but they're making a big spectacle of it. So I think for a lot of reasons, I think it can work against the women. And I think that the women have to act like, you know, I'd say this about Sasha Banks' character. Her character's a boss. Start acting like you belong there, not that you can't believe you're here. And unfortunately, Bayley's too good at that right now, and I think it's undercutting her character.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, if a babyface tag team wins championships, Jordan and Gable are the type of characters who, going back to NXT, wear their emotions on their sleeves. I mean, they're goofy, they're exuberant, their enthusiasm for what they do. Their last NXT Takeover Challenge match, I mean, it was just like so over. It was so clear how much enthusiasm and joy they had doing what they do. And so I would say that it really fits their character that to then be really emotional when they win the tag team titles, because it fits their character. My issue is with almost all the women always crying, babyface or heel, no matter what their character is. I think it plays into a bit of a stereotype that could be used against them. And I want to see them draw and be main event draws. Bruce, I'll throw to you.
Yeah, another part of this, if he was tearing up as a shoot for real, I don't like it. And I'll get to why in a second. But they didn't have if the story was the chase, the awesome chase, and they got frustrated and they finally broke through on a big stage and won the big championship that, you know, that everybody's enthralled with, and the baby faces tear up, that makes sense to me, and that's a story that's worth telling. If it's if it's a four-way match, you really want to win, you want it. It's the opening match on even though it's an important two-hour SmackDown show, it's an opening match on a two-hour SmackDown show, and it's really the beginning of something for you. I'm not all that crazy about that as a story, and if it's you're an athlete and you won, and you think this is a major moment because you won this belt that you've been watching on television your whole life, that worries me. I don't like. We've seen wrestlers do that before in WWE, and that's not. You know, the point of it is to draw in the interest in the fans and the money, and then you can have that emotional moment when it's there for you. But you should be more emotional about getting that big check than you should be about winning, winning the SmackDown tag team title on this kind of one-off. I think we get better entertainment from performers who are much more focused on what they're doing than just I have a passion for it. And I always, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to hold one of these title belts up in the air on television, and now I got to, because that puts them in a position sometimes of not getting paid what they're worth, and I don't like that part.
Les, anything else?
Last thing, I wanted to get both of your thoughts on the speculation regarding the identity of La Luchadora. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter, everyone from Eva Marie, Mickie James, maybe even Naomi or Tamina. I personally am looking forward to her voice-distorted promo next week where she asked Becky if she remembers their time in Belfast. But what do you guys think?
I think it'll just end up being Ric Flair because they won't be able to find anyone else to play the role. I love the way Alexa Bliss played it. She just, again, won me over with a post-match interview speculating it was Sasha Banks, and then the interviewer goes, yeah, but Sasha's too small. That definitely wasn't her. And Alexa's like, yeah, good point. Yeah, I'm going with Nia Jax instead. And then she just walks, you know, basically drops the mic, walks away. It was great. I love Alexa Bliss's comic timing and her dry delivery of what she does. I think it was really sharp, well written, well delivered, whatever. Bruce, where do you think this is headed, or could that be it? Could it just be, you know, that was a way for them to get out of the match, and it's the last we see of her, or don't see of her?
I hope that there's more to it, and I really don't mind. If they've got an end game in mind, if it's Mickie James or somebody, that they've got an end game in mind and they put someone else in the costume to keep the mystery there, because the truth of the matter is it would get out too quickly. There's too many ways to watch it. There's too many ways to compare different people easily, you know, with technology being the way it is. So, you know, a masked mystery person is going to be really tough to do unless you, you know, put in some ringers to start off with. I didn't like that the announcer didn't seem to like, never occurred to her that maybe Alexa Bliss had something to do with that. You know, it's like, oh, you know, like she's trying to get you off the trail because she's part of the conspiracy. I mean, come on. But I did think that was funny. That was and it was funny in a way that fit into the storyline. And yeah, I mean, I think clearly there's more to go with this, and it's something they could do, and it got them out of a finish to the match without beating Alexa or beating, you know, Becky for the title again. And I thought that was a good idea.
Les, any follow up or anything else?
No, that'll do it for me. Thank you guys. I love the show and look forward to hearing you with Sean Radican tomorrow on the live cast.
Cool. I appreciate it. Call us again, Les.
I will.
All right, cool.
Thanks, guys.
That's, Les Moore, you can hear him over at Talking Sheet, and it is available at sheetsandwich.com. They talk about wrestling media, wrestling journalism. It's the layer under the layer under the layer of wrestling coverage. He does a really good job with it. I've been a guest on his program. So, again, that's sheetsandwich.com. I don't think he was calling looking for plugs, but we'll throw that out there.
I listened to the last show coming back from the holiday, and I enjoyed it. It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first time you heard the show was in the car with me a year and a half ago.
I think that's true.
Yeah,
With Hugh Little and our pal Celia Bloom. Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, it's very kind of inside baseball, but in a fun way if you want to get to that next layer of all the stuff that we do here. We've gone real long. Bruce, I appreciate your time. We got more callers on hold. I apologize to Damian and Darrell and Boris and Jordan and whoever else is on hold. We just didn't have time to get to everybody, but some good conversations, some good emails. Bruce, always good when you can make it on the live cast. Hopefully we can do this again in 2017.
Yeah, I enjoyed going back and forth with the callers and you. It's a different dynamic. It's cool. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So Friday, you'll be. Are you? Is it a regular schedule? I know it's a holiday weekend. Are you and Travis planning to be together Friday night at 7 Eastern?
You know what? I take that back. No, I don't think I will be on it. Although people can come and see me live and in person, I will be headed towards
Ronda Rousey or
CWF Mid Atlantic. CWF Mid Atlantic Battlecade, which is their year-end show, which is just loaded with good stuff. I mean, I think it's a promotion that's really starting to catch some momentum, and I'm really looking forward to the show Friday night. So I have not made my plans. I haven't talked to you about this and made my plans for what we're going to do, but there'll be a lot of our there'll be some VIP members there. There'll be some folks. Jeremy Bryant has been writing recaps for the site, and Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, Trevor Lee versus Brad Attitude and the big final match. And there's just, I mean, a lot of really good independent wrestling that can hold its own with anybody anywhere in the world. And featured on, Brad Stutzen and I talked about Total Deletion, and a lot of these guys were featured in cameos on that. So it's a chance for people to come. But hopefully I'll see some listeners, some callers, and I usually do. I usually hear from people there. So
Friday night in what city? Let's get some people out there listening to the livecast.
Gibsonville, North Carolina, which is near Burlington, which is near Greensboro, which is near Durham, at the CWF Sportatorium that Bill Mercer, at 90 years old, actually cut a promo to call it the CWF Sportatorium instead of the world-class Dallas Sportatorium for all those years. So
cool.
It's a cool venue and a very well-booked, good show. Starts at 8:00, and I've got 6 or 7 friends going. We may have more than that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. So we probably will not be hearing you Friday night on the Primetime Friday live cast, and we'll work that out. There's sometimes variations in the schedule, so even better that we got you on today. I'll be talking to you this weekend about that very show and everything else that happens this week in wrestling, and we'll also be answering VIP member email questions for the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show if we have time this weekend. And Bruce, extremely knowledgeable, one of the most, absolutely, and the top most experienced wrestling columnists and analysts around today, and just does a phenomenal job combining, I always say it, you combine a nearly unmatched knowledge of wrestling history with following wrestling closely today, which just those two things are a rare commodity, because a lot of people just kind of, they know their history, but they don't follow current or vice versa, and then you combine that with having a very strong point of view, and it is a weekly education to host the show. And it is one of the great features of a VIP membership. So we'll close out the show, Bruce, with our VIP commercial. And so if you've been tempted with all these VIP callers and hearing Bruce today to get on board and become a VIP member, it's $10 a month and $99 for a full year if you choose to go that route. And we'd love to have you on board as we enter Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. And you can not only hear the new Bruce Mitchell Audio Show every weekend, but also hear Bruce Mitchell in October 2000 on a recent retro radio show that we posted exclusively for VIP members with Bruce and Jim Valley, talking about the pending demise of WCW or the potential buyout and many other topics. And then you can also hear past episodes of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show going back more than a dozen years every weekend. I think, Bruce, you haven't even missed a weekend in over a dozen years, which is crazy. And,
yeah, I meant to tell you, I'm taking this weekend off. I don't really have a good reason, but I'm just, yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, kind of lazy, yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'd love to have you as a VIP member. That's Bruce Mitchell. I'm Wade Keller. Follow me on Twitter at Wade Keller. Follow Bruce Mitchell at
Mitchell PW Torch.
And follow our brand at PW Torch and at MMA Torch. And if you want to support us when you shop Amazon, go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the link. You can buy some wrestling merchandise on that page or just jump right to the Amazon homepage and shop away. And a little bit of the profit that would otherwise go to Amazon, we get a slice of simply by mentioning them here on this show. But you have to start at pwtorch.com/Amazon for that to work. So make it worth our while for taking time to mention them by starting there when you shop Amazon, pwtorch.com/Amazon. Here's some more word on a VIP membership. On behalf of Bruce Mitchell and our callers, Wade Keller thanking everybody and signing off. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. No!